I waited. Masami is still interning with Sugiyama, yes? The chief director scowled down at me, then turned toward the rear of the room, where a partition patterned with a calligraphic scene of frogs and goldfish holding Congress in a waterfall separated this outer chamber from an inner one. A new kind of shiver touched me as the partition opened. I cannot date the beginning of the tradition wherein queens and warlords surrounded themselves with fawning predators, hounds, lions, serpents on silken cushions, ready to loose their savagery at the master's whim. Chief Director Ando had chosen a more dangerous predator. Adopted children, 10 in all, fox cunning and ambitious, just finished with school and ready to carve their names into the world. 6 were present in the inner room then, sprawling on the floor like cats, and as the door yawned wider, they watched me, as cats watch a twitching toy they have not yet made up their minds to chase. They all come from one bash, a batch of Ba siblings who lost the older generation and had been scattered to distant foster bashes before the childless Ando Mitsubishi bash welcomed them all. They were just starting to cross from teens to 20s now, and the 3 eldest had recently passed the adulthood competency exam. One donning humanist boots, another a Mitsubishi suit, the 3rd a hiveless sash, but the rest had not yet chosen, so wore only miners' sashes over soft pajamas and the sloppy sweaters their adopted mother knitted herself. Masami Mitsubishi was not among the lounging bossibs. Not today. Instead, a different figure rose to join us, pausing first to set down with loving care the branch of plum blossoms she had been about to trim. Danae Marianne de la Tremouille Mitsubishi, Princesse de la Tremouille et de Talmont, sister of humanist president Ganymede Duc de Thouars, and wife of chief director Hotaka Ando Mitsubishi. She wore kimono here in her husband's capital, not the unisex kimono one sees on Mitsubishi streets, but a woman's antique kimono. Birds and blossoms and golds, peaches and blues, the fabric thick with labor like a tapestry, the obi sparkling around her stiff waist like a puzzle box of silk. She approached with the small, shuffling steps which in Japan code feminine, her white hands nested pale against the cloth like doves. So perfectly anachronistic were her dress and poise, she might have been the model for an antique woodblock print, except for her hair, which sparkled in its cage of hairpins with all the rebellious wheat-lush gold of Europe. I will not call Princesse Danae the most beautiful woman in the world, since that title doubtless belongs to some obscure person living happily indifferent to the doors of fame that might be opened by the blessings of anatomy. But I do know who would win a worldwide vote for the face on Earth most likely to launch 1,000 ships. What's good luck that we have an investigator so perceptive and so discreet? Danae's Japanese is elegant and beautifully accented, but too meticulous. The over-perfect Japanese of one who learned it in adulthood and remains self-conscious even as the decades mount. Surely Mycroft will protect our Masami? Her words open an aspect of this I had not seen before. The poor young intern, still a minor just whetting his eager pen, swept up in a storm of probing questions, which bitter politics would whip into a hurricane to levy at the whole bash. Suddenly the wide eyes of the lounging siblings watching from the back room felt like fear. "Do you think this is directed against the chief director, Princesse?" I asked. "I don't know." Danae came to her husband's side. Do not chide me, reader, for using the gendered husband when she stands so close, sheltering against him as she gazes up into his face with her brilliant, pleading blue eyes edged by maternal fear. Our age's neutral partner rings false when her every touch and gesture makes such intentional display of wife. Masami was so excited by this job at the paper, their dream job. I hate to think someone would destroy that just to get at us. I'll do everything I can to protect Masami, Princess. I said it almost without thinking, or with no thought beyond the desire to drive the sadness from that perfect face. Princess Danae rewarded me with a smile, warm, her right cheek framed by one stray golden curl, and I relaxed enough to slump back on my haunches. Poor Masami is quite innocent, but I fear they will seem guilty when the public finds out the truth. Finds out what? I asked. She sighed, brushing back the wayward curl, and the passion rising in my breast split between the impulse to leap between her and the sources of her grief like some white knight, or to freeze that moment like a portrait, so I could feast my eye forever on her face. I should add, reader, that I hold no particular lust for Danae. Rather, her arts, mastery of poise and gesture, can inflict these feelings on almost any victim. And when she sighs thus in the council chamber where the 9 directors meet, one sigh can trump 100,000 votes. As I understand, Sugiyama pulled out of writing the list just a few days ago and had Masami finish it. But the editor wanted the famous name, so was going to release Masami's list, pretending it was their teacher. Masami is just a junior intern. They had no way to object. Of course not, I answered instantly. Don't worry, Princess. I'm sure we can protect Masami. I'll do everything I can, and Martin, too. Martin will understand. Martin understands better than anyone how important it is to keep press and public from hounding hive leaders' children. We'll keep Masami out of the limelight. I promise. Thank you, good Mycroft. Danae's smile washed over me like sunlight, and she even reached down with those pure alabaster fingers and stroked my hair as one might stroke a faithful hound. What did you do with the kennel device? You, distant reader, and I, now thinking back on this scene, with the distance of weeks, we too can see Ando looming behind his wife, watching in calculated silence as this exquisite tool extracts what he desires. But the Mycroft who kneels before her, he sees nothing but those eyes, keen as blue diamond, which slice even as they sparkle. I never had the counter device, Princess. She cocked her head like a bird. You never had it? No. I've never even seen it. I only ever had the packaging. I bought the empty box from some arms smugglers. I'd heard about the device from the news back when it was stolen from the lab. Everyone did. I wanted the police to think I had the device so they'd think that was how I was sneaking around. It was just a trick to keep them from looking any deeper. It all poured out of me, years of careful silence melted by that coaxing face. I'd been close to breaking already, really. The truth brought to my tongue's tip by the fear that being incriminated in this theft might cost me my parole. But if Ando's intimidation was a cudgel, Danae was that perfect scalpel touch against the artery that makes the blood flow free. She smiled. What sweet reward, that smile, and chuckled like a teasing child. Then why didn't you just say so, you little silly? I didn't want anyone to think I can. Her smile turned from teasing to forgiveness. You can still do it, can't you? You can still trick the tracker system, however you did before? Yes, Princess. Please don't tell anyone. They'll lock me up again. I know they will. But if I'd told them, they would have taken the means away, and I didn't want to lose it. I need it in case I need it someday to help somebody. The mercy here was that she instantly assumed my somebody meant her own Bash. Of course. She gave my hair a second stroke. You did very well to protect that ability. I'm sure it is of great service. Thank you, Princess. Danae turned back to her husband now, freeing me to look down at the hat in my hands. The sight of it kicked off one of those chains of association which leads in an instant through 5 links to realization, or, in my case, horror. What had I done? How could I have betrayed so much so fast? The threat of the device, of being implicated in this theft, it had seemed overwhelming, but I was innocent, and Martin would have believed me. I was not innocent of deceiving the tracker system whenever Bridger or other necessity required. Now and forever after, Danae could hold that over me, and so could Ando. I cursed myself inside, although looking back, I forgive myself now. She was irresistible. Remember, reader, though I use archaic words, I am not from those barbaric centuries when men and women wore their gender like a cockerel's plumes, advertising sex with every suit and skirt. Growing up, I saw gendered costume on the stage, in art, pornography. But to see it in real life is unbearably different. Her shallow breaths within constricted ribs, her round French breasts threatening to overflow the low Japanese silks. Here, as Ando wraps his arm around her waist, the costume makes me see them in my mind. The husband wrenching the kimono back to bare the honey-wet vagina. You see now, reader, why to tell this history, I must say he and she. Danae is a thing long thought extinct, reviving out of time ancient venoms perfected by 100 generations of gendered culture. We around her, from my weak self to the gaping guards, grew up with no inoculation against this pox we thought our ancestors had vanquished. Movies and histories gave us just enough exposure to learn these ancient cues, weakness without resistance, and we can no more unlearn them than you could unlearn your alphabet when facing an unwelcome word. Ando took control now, stepping forward so his shadow fell across me. You will write up everything you know about the smugglers you bought the packaging from. 13 years ago is not beyond the possibility of tracing. Yes, Chief Director. I hold you responsible for this. If you had made it known in the first place that the device was still in dangerous hands, I would have worked to track it down. I expect a prompt solution if you want me to conceal this error from the Commissioner General. So fast, the price of my indiscretion. I understand, Chief Director. I will take responsibility. Should I report my findings to Martin or to you? He weighed that for a breath. Did these smugglers have a nation strat? Japanese, Chief Director. I suspect the original thieves were Japanese as well. I hesitated, but it was better now to say things openly. Like its makers. His face both darkened and calmed. Then bring the report to me first. Martin, I trust, but within the strat, my own inquiries will open more doors than a mason's. Yes, Chief Director. He peered down at me. Who do you think had the Canada device built in the first place? Please, don't call it that. More firmly, who had the Canada device built? I kept my eyes on the floor. I know you are innocent, Chief Director. That isn't what I asked. I squeezed my hat. I believe the project was ordered by the previous head of the Japanese voting bloc, but your predecessor's guilt doesn't make you guilty. It will in China's eyes, he snapped. In India's, Korea's, in the other hives. The accusation alone would be enough to shatter the Strat's hopes, and without a strong Japan, the hive will go back to being brawled over by Shanghai and Beijing. Not just at the next board selection, but for a generation. You think one of the Chinese blocs planned this? To scare the world with what the device we made can do. It was a possibility, now that I mulled it over. The thief must have folded the stolen paper around the device on purpose, to let us know they had it. In my selfish panic, I had assumed they only meant to target me, not the greater forces that had created the Gaiji's device. That's what I call it in my mind, after the invisibility ring from Plato's fable, which tempts even the most virtuous to crime.